it is really rewarding to see how the girls are growing up. And a lot of people ask me kind of what our philosophy is on being a parent and being a green parent. And we always let our girls make our own choices. We let them know about the consequences of their choices and let them make them on their own. And, you know, it does feel like more and more they're starting to make green choices. Ani calls us the green family. And, you know, we raise children to be the kind of people we hope we are. So, or we hope to be. So seeing that kind of reflected in your kids is really beautiful.
Welcome to the Sustainable Jungle podcast. Today I'm speaking to a very special guest, my dear friend Mira, who is the Green Mum. The Green Mum's Instagram account is an incredibly honest, authentic, and non-judgmental space to learn about living a greener life, especially with kids. Mira focuses on low-impact living, including zero waste, plant-based and vegan food, and everyday eco-choices and trade-offs. In this episode, we cover Mira's reflections on her own journey and some of her top tips for mums and others. We also cover conscious consumerism and her thoughts on making the holiday season that much more thoughtful. As always, you can find the show notes for this episode, including all the relevant links, over at sustainablejungle.com/podcast. Now I give you the Green Mum. Hello, my friend. Welcome to our podcast. So lovely to chat to you in this forum.
Hi, Joy. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's jump right in. And it's really strange doing a podcast with a friend, isn't it? Because it's just very giggly.
It could be a lot of fun. You know, when you hear people laugh and then you laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what's going
to
happen.
We'll try not to make the whole thing about giggling, but giggling is certainly allowed. let's jump straight in and talk about your background. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
Oh, cool. I was born in Hamilton, Ontario, and I grew up just outside of Hamilton in a little town called Ancaster. But for those of you not from Hamilton, you'll probably be more familiar with Toronto in Canada. So I grew up pretty close to there, and that's where I live now.
And tell me a little bit about your career as a teacher. How did you become interested in teaching?
Oh, wow. What a fun question. No one ever asks me about that part of my life, ever. So I actually grew up wanting to be a doctor. And that was kind of where my career path was headed. And then I actually didn't get into medical school. And my then boyfriend, who's now my husband, Mark, said to me, you know, everything you do is with kids. Have you ever considered being a teacher? And it's true. I've always been a camp counselor. At the time, I was volunteering with needy kids while I was in university. And I just didn't have a reason to say no. So I can really credit him to my career choice. And I went to teacher's college and I became a teacher and I've just fallen in love with the career. I love it so much.
Wow, that's amazing. We can credit that to Mark. Nice one. Nice one, Mark.
Right. Thanks, Campo.
And clearly you've been interested in all things green for a super long time. Tell me a bit about your eco journey.
Yeah. So the way I always tell my story is that I've been kind of, I say eco anxious for a very long time, probably as long as I could remember. And I actually remember having specific anxiety about garbage at one point and not really knowing how to deal with that. But usually my kind of eco tendencies were just about kind of the big things that I knew were bad for the environment. So I've been driving a hybrid for a long time and, you know, we're very careful to save water and energy. But then I had these dear friends come and stay with me. You may know them. They're called Joy and Lyle. You know them?
I am vaguely familiar with them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. they're not that nice, but no, when you guys came and stayed with us and not only showed us your ways, but also this whole blogging kind of social media part about, you know, just sharing your journey with other people, that just really, really appealed to me. So after you left, I watched The Plastic Ocean on Netflix and didn't sleep for like 3 weeks after that. And those are kind of my big impetuses to kind of start this more intense, like a leveled up eco journey and to blog about it. And I've been very fortunate that people have been a little bit interested in my journey. And here we are today. So a big thanks to Sustainable Jungle.
We're very glad to have such positive impact because you've gone on to create your own super positive impact. But tell us about the Green Mum. You are the Green Mum. What exactly is the Green Mum and what happens in that space?
Like the Instagram space?
Yeah. Website whatever the space is that you influence.
Oh, I think Instagram is probably the only thing worth mentioning. Okay. Please don't go to my website.
Sure. Instagram then.
Unless you're listening to this like 6 months after the time of recording, then you may go to my website. I kind of started out a little differently. I kind of started out maybe thinking I'd talk about parenting and fitness and mental well-being and taking care of the planet. But it really just kind of, I guess what I was most interested in at the end of the day was taking care of the planet and how parenting can intersect with that. So I like to call my feed a place where like families can come and see how to make life a little bit greener, but also a little bit easier. Because I know as a busy mom, I have two daughters, they're quite young. So things are really busy around here. So we have to cut corners where we can, and we have to choose which sustainable practices kind of are sustainable for us. And I think it's a journey a lot of parents can relate with. So yeah, I like to think of it as, you know, ways to make green living easy and convenient and how to do it with a family. Not to suggest that if you don't have kids, you're not welcome, because I can tell some pretty funny jokes too. So.
but there are some pretty unique challenges to being green all or most of the time, especially with kids. So yeah. I imagine that has its own, you know, unique challenges. What have some of those most challenging things been for you from a parenting perspective?
I think sometimes, you know, when it's myself being green, I'm pretty much in control. Like that's my sphere of control, right? But I can't control the choices my kids make or what happens to them. So, you know, sometimes they'll go to a birthday party and get, you know, a loot bag full of plasticky junk, or they'll get gifts from loved ones that they absolutely adore. But I'm like, oh, how am I going to dispose of that at the end of its life? And then there's also the internal struggle of, you know, wanting to provide for my children. They're obviously very well provided for, but, you know, there is joy in giving your children things that make them happy. So kind of balancing that joy with the desire to keep a planet where they can stay safe and healthy for a long time. That probably is a challenge. And then, I don't know why I didn't say this one first, but time. Time is a big challenge as well.
Of course.
Because... Yeah. Yeah, they're awesome, but they take up a lot of time and energy. So then sometimes by the time they go to bed, I just want to close my eyes and wake up in the morning when they scream at me.
Yeah, exactly. Which makes doing all of the eco stuff, because I mean, you do find on a lot of Instagrams, like everything looks super perfect. And it's like, you know, you can spend all night making like homemade crackers so that your kids have like a perfectly zero waste lunch and so on. But I found that with your Insta, what I really like about it is that it's super pragmatic, really honest, you know, where you share your failings as well as your wins, you know. And I think,
you know, I get that feedback, Joy, and that makes me really happy. So I'm glad you feel like that, because that's literally what it's there for. Because no one's going to feel, if I think about myself, I'm not going to go out there and feel good about someone who's perfect. I'm just going to feel like I'm not good enough all the time. So what I like to do is try and create a relatable experience and an honest experience that hopefully other people can see themselves in a bit too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I imagine, I was just thinking like how that lines up with being eco-anxious, because someone who's eco-anxious, and I know that you are also quite the A-type personality who is,
oh, yeah,
you know, an absolute achiever in everything that you do, you know. Right. It must be sometimes a little bit confronting to share failings, especially if you're super, super eco-anxious, but somehow you handle it with complete grace. So I was wondering if you had like reflections on how you do that, or whether even having the forum to share your failings means that it's easier for you, because, you know, so many people would be like, yes, I have that experience too. And find that super valuable.
Yeah, like, is it supportive too? That's true as well. It is nice to know you're not the only one sometimes. But I would say this whole I guess for lack of a better term, journey that I've been on for the past 2 years has actually released a lot of my eco anxiety. I know for some of our other friend bloggers, and I don't know if you fit into this, but I know it's increased a lot of people's anxiety, because once you find out the state of the world and you're like, wow, it's kind of worse than I thought.
Yeah.
But for me, it's really helped because this is the most I've ever done to be part of the solution ever.
Right.
So there's what I'm actually doing on a day-to-day basis, which to be honest, during COVID is significantly less than usual. But I'm still trying. And then there's also the fact that I'm sharing it with a few thousand people a couple times a week of what I'm doing and giving tips and stuff. So I like to think my sphere of influence is a little bit bigger now and that I have a lot more to share. So if me saying that today I bought something in plastic, like a granola bar, let's say, if me sharing that makes someone say to themselves, okay, that's okay sometimes, but because I can give myself that break sometimes and the rest of the time I can make my own granola bars. That's just a lame metaphor, but
yeah, no, I get
that,
it.
That actually makes me feel better.
Absolutely.
Because,
yeah,
you know, the minute we strive for perfection, I know that's going to have a high burnout rate, right? So.
Absolutely. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And it does make sense that empowerment, to actually make change and see the change and see the influence that you're having on changing others can,
I wonder about your experience there. I know this is your podcast, but I'm going to ask you a question now. Do you feel like your eco anxiety has deepened? And the fact that you're sharing this podcast with so many people and sharing such neat innovations and people's stories, does that alleviate some of your anxiety as well?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, because I still have a job, like a normal job, I'm eco-anxious part of the week. And then when I get to work on SJ,
you turn it off.
I feel like I'm empowered and I feel like I'm doing something positive to fix things. So I have like this mixed feeling during the week, you know, each week where I have these highs and lows around feeling eco-anxious. So yeah, it definitely changes. But I totally get like the feeling of actually doing something to make a change really is super empowering, even though you learn more and more and more about how, you know, things, terrible things can be. I was finished. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you also learn more about like things that are happening. And I guess maybe it's just my brain's way of coping, but like I focus a lot on, okay, someone's trying to do this. And now we have a bacteria that can eat plastic and this thing is going to suck up all the garbage from the ocean. So
yeah,
that stuff helps.
Eco-optimism, right? Like I think I also tend to be attracted to the good news stories because
we need more of them. Have eco-realism as well, but yeah, sure. A little bit of optimism never hurt anyone.
Yeah. So you mentioned COVID-19 has made it harder. Has it changed your perspective on anything? Or is it just more that it's difficult? It's just makes it more difficult to stick to your sort of usual eco-routines.
I would say more the latter. Like there's so many routines I can't do now. And that most of that stuff is surrounding zero waste. Like we're still buying green energy and obviously still driving our hybrid and I still bike to work and saving energy and trying to work on water conservation. But a lot of the practices we had in place to reduce our plastic consumption have been decimated at the current moment. And to put it in perspective, like I get it. It's not that I don't care about COVID or I don't care about people's health, because I do, but I also care about the planet's health equally. So that's been really challenging. But one thing I found since in these past 7 or 8 months is that my attitude towards plastic is a little less strict than it was before. And I don't know if that's just my brain's way of saying like, you can't worry about this all the time. But I'm a little less worried about bringing in a little bit more plastic, I guess, into our house, because I also have like awesome ways to dispose of it because I pay like money to buy these boxes that will dispose of things nicely for me. Those TerraCycle zero waste boxes.
That's interesting. So yeah, I haven't met many people who've actually bought the zero waste box and put them in their own house. It's mostly people like seeking out where they can find the boxes and you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you opted for actually buying them and putting them in your house so that you can make sure that
staring at 3 of them right now.
Wow, that's amazing. Which boxes did you buy?
We bought the personal care waste one. So that's kind of like a bathroom one, you could say. And that was really for a lot of products that we had before we kind of became more low waste. So there was a lot of things that had to be used up and disposed of. And I didn't feel right about putting those in the garbage, even though they were from a past life. So that got filled up pretty fast. We moved this summer. So that got filled up pretty fast when we moved. And then I have one that's called the kitchen waste one. And that's for all your general wrappers and random things. Now that we order takeout a lot more because we're trying to support local business, local restaurants, so they don't shut down, there's all this random wrapping and you should see my face right now. It's not a pleasant face, but a lot of random garbage we get. So a lot of that goes in there. And I'm an avid gum chewer, as you may recall.
Yes.
So my gum can go in there too. So I like that.
Really? Gum can go in there?
Yeah, it's the best. I think my box is like 50% just wads of gum.
Wow.
And then the last one we got is to mitigate a lot of the waste that the girls bring in from work, from school. It's called the art supplies waste box.
Mm.
And, you know, they bring home a lot of things with like foam pieces on them or stickers on them and stuff. So I throw all that stuff in there. Or if we bought these sticks that, you know, we have these sticks that are like paint sticks. So it's like a glue stick, but it's colorful. So when they finish that, then I throw it in there.
Wow, that's such a good idea. So if you have the ability to buy these boxes, that is a real fast way to, you know, reduce the eco anxiety if you are finding you're unable to reduce it to begin with.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. But I do have to take a minute to acknowledge my privilege in being able to buy these, because it's definitely not a catch-all solution. So
right.
Let's just take a minute to acknowledge that I'm very lucky in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, that is a huge part of the eco movement, is that it's just not accessible to everyone. Right. So
no,
it's, yeah, the way that I see it is it's a responsibility to spend money on that stuff.
I was just going to say, I have a post on that.
Oh,
it's called Privilege Equals Responsibility.
Yeah.
I have to do what other people can't because I can.
Yes, exactly. Fully agree. And maybe on that topic, social media, obviously we're talking about Instagram a lot. That's been a big part of your impressive impact, the Green Mum's impressive impact. And it's so, you know, I know that it's been talked about to death, but I just think it's interesting that it's incredible that these platforms can be used for good in this way. Do you have any reflections on sort of how it's become, you know, how you've used the platform and how you've been able to connect with so many people around the world using technology, and to share your learnings along the way across like such a wider audience than you would ordinarily be able to?
Oh yeah. I mean, as a teacher, I stand in front of a stage of 27 people every day, right? So just to multiply that, I can't even tell you the math, but many times is amazing. But I never think about that when I post. I have this audience member, her name is Leia, that I made up. And she's like me, but she's like me like 5 years ago. She's just the person, like the eco-anxious kind of busy mom kind of thing. And I always post for her.
Right.
And,
okay.
You know, if that reaches 14,000 people, that's amazing. And I'm so blessed and I'm so fortunate and proud to be able to do that. But it's always for her that I'm posting. How can I help that person make tomorrow a little bit easier and healthier for our planet?
I love that. You're visualizing this character that you're working for. Which is,
yeah,
that's such a good idea. Very cool.
Yeah.
And
I hope she's still following me. Just kidding.
Your imaginary friend.
Yeah, exactly.
And perhaps on that topic, what have been some of the most rewarding moments for you on this journey?
Oh, that's such a nice question. I think it's like more like a culmination of all the kind things people have said and people saying, you know, I'm so motivated, or I think about you when I go to the grocery store now, or I can't get you out of my head. And not in that creepy, like, I think you're attractive way, but maybe more like that annoying nagging voice in your head. I'll happily take up that position. But yeah, I think it's kind of just what we've been talking about, is just the amount of impact you can have. And you know, maybe it's only 10 people or 100 people emailing me, but it just feels really good. I've been very fortunate to do some really interesting things that I never thought I would be a part of. But I think it's, yeah, the small impacts that you make that add up to feel like a really big impact.
For sure. And I imagine, I'm not to lead you too much, but I imagine, have you seen any impact on your girls, you know, like making eco choices for themselves? Yes, I've nailed it.
Oh, yeah, all the time. And I even see it in my students who I've only really had for like 2 months now, not even. It's the best. And I should mention, in terms of rewarding, is just knowing that maybe because of me, maybe a teeny tiny percent of what we're doing to our planet has been mitigated. I mean, I don't want to overstate my influence, but I'll let myself think that on a good day. Okay.
Absolutely. No, I mean, like, I think, you know, we were speaking to a magazine editor last week from Pebble Mag, the founder of mm-hmm. Pebble Mag, Georgina. And she was saying, mm-hmm. you know, which actually struck me as something that I've never sort of explicitly thought about before, but she was saying, like, we're not going to solve climate change and biodiversity loss with one big bang solution. It's going to be everyone mm-hmm. doing little pieces mm-hmm. all of the time. And 100%. So, you know, the more of those little pieces that you can take on, the better yeah. it is, obviously. And you have taken on a lot of that responsibility. So,
well, thank you so much. But, you know, there's also so many amazing accounts out there who have, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. So I definitely consider myself like a small cog in this operation, but just the fact that there's people out there make me feel better, because I'm like, okay, they're doing so much for us right now. So
yeah.
But back to your parenting question, if I may.
Please.
It is really rewarding to see how the girls are growing up. And a lot of people ask me kind of what our philosophy is on being a parent and being a green parent. And we always let our girls make our own choices. We let them know about the consequences of their choices and let them make them on their own. And, you know, it does feel like more and more they're starting to make green choices. Ani calls us the green family.
Oh, cute.
yeah, I love it. She tells people at school, we're a green family.
Oh, there you go.
yeah. They're probably like, no, you're brown. But anyways. So yeah, that's really rewarding. And, you know, we raise children to be the kind of people we hope we are. So, or we hope to be. So seeing that kind of reflected in your kids is really beautiful.
Yeah. That must be very, very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could list sort of just a handful of things, that make a huge impact. So say for the person that you post for Leah, so for the mum out there listening who might want to start on her own eco journey or is just sort of mm-hmm. getting going, what would some of the, like, if you had to list like three things that are like, these are the things you start Ooh. With, what would those key things be?
Oh, okay. Wait, that's kind of two different questions. Should I do what I would start with or what would make the most impact right now?
Oh, okay. What you would start with?
Okay. The first thing I would do is I would do an audit of my trash. And I would pick three things that are in my trash can or bag that I am no longer going to allow there. So let's say you have a ton of granola bar wrappers. Maybe now you start making your own granola bars, or you have, I know, a ton of those gum, what do you call those things? You know, those thing that you punch out? What do you call those?
Oh. I was thinking of those Pez things, you know, where you like you open the thing and the
who has
the,
a ton of those in their car?
That's why I was like could not compute. what are the gum things? What are you talking about? Is this a Canadian thing?
That's what I'm worried about. You know, like medicine comes in this little I've had it in Australia. Medicine comes in like a little pack with foil over it, and then you punch them out.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Like the little gum packs. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a name. I forget what they're called. So maybe you find a biodegradable gum company to support, or maybe you're able to purchase a TerraCycle waste box. So anyways, just pick, or maybe you have a bunch of coffee cups in there. So maybe it's now, okay, I'm going to make my coffee at home so I don't have to throw out a coffee cup every day. So that would be my first piece of advice. My second piece of advice would be to try and implement more plant-based meals or even plant-based snacks into your weekly routine. Because the way I see it is cooking vegan or cooking with cheese or cooking with meat, it's still cooking.
Right.
So even if you just do 3 vegan meals a week, that can make a big difference. And pick cuisines that lend themselves to veganism very easily. Like, you know, I tried making a mac and cheese, but the cheese was with a Z. Cheese.
Yeah.
Did not compute, let's just say. So I like to make like a lot of Indian and Asian foods that kind of lend themselves to veganism. And the third thing I would do is I would choose just another small action you can take. But the reason I say a small action is because I jumped into this lifestyle very fast because I saw you and Lyle and how great you guys were doing with it right away. So I was like, I'm going to do this. And I remember being in the grocery store looking around and wanting to cry because I said, I don't know how to buy food anymore. So just be really kind to yourself and really gentle and just take small steps. Don't make yourself buy zero waste bread and zero waste eggs and zero waste produce all in 1 week. Just give yourself a few weeks to get used to a couple new changes and then implement some new ones after that.
Very good advice. And as a teacher, so this is like going back to the sort of the more, I guess, the institutional side, as opposed to like what you do in your home. As a teacher, are there any aspects of green living or living green that you would love to see in the school curriculum?
Ooh, well, so in our science curriculum right now, at least this is specific to Ontario, but we do have a nice element of environmental education within the science curriculum, but I don't think that should just be a subject that is related to science. I think it is time that we teach our children to take care of our planet and make it its own subject. I would love to see something like environmental education. There are actually schools out there that are called nature schools where they teach kids to grow their own vegetables and how to create a compost heap and just teaching kids to appreciate nature and therefore tread lightly on nature. And, you know, being someone who believes strongly in those things, but also someone that has to uphold the Ontario curriculum, it can be really challenging because you don't have time to do both. So I would love to have the opportunity to have to do both.
Yeah, it's super exciting. We interviewed a kindergarten on the podcast, and it was the very first kindergarten in Australia to go carbon neutral. And it was really cute and really fun.
Tell me.
These like little kiddies, like 4 years old, 5 years old. Actually, I can't remember exactly how old they are, how old kids are in kindergarten. But they
That's
were
probably
like
right.
very little and, you know, just starting to get their voice and so on. And they were telling me about the things that they do obviously I had already been pre-wired by the people that we were interviewing. But the kids themselves were so proud of everything, and they were like talking about the worms. There's like a really cute video about it as well, where they show how they do their composting outside. They show how they they've got solar panels now. They were able to turn off the gas meter because they've moved everything to electricity that's powered by their solar panels. And they like grow things in the garden at the kinder. So these like 4-year-olds go to kinder and they spend the day like just doing green stuff, which I think was so cute. And now that
sounds like heaven to me.
Yeah, it's so sweet, right? Like, and then that kindergarten has now teamed up with the local high school, and the high school is trying to find ways to go green as well. So they're getting solar panels installed, and they're also thinking of like things that they can do on their school grounds to be a little bit more green. So I'm hoping that
is this
like
a private school?
No, these are public schools. Well, the kinder, I presume, is public, private. I'm not sure. But the high school certainly is public school.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, right now, because of COVID, we have so much waste, so much more waste happening. And one of the things we're doing in our schools right now is all the teachers have to wear disposable masks every day. Yeah. It just drives me crazy because the kids get to use reusable ones. So I'm not really sure. I'm really hoping and praying there's some scientific reason behind this. But just the idea that there's people trying to live carbon neutral. And then I'm in the biggest school board in Ontario, probably in Canada. And we're just like, hey, slap on some plastic on your face every day and throw it out at the end of the day.
Yeah. To me, that feels like it's the easy decision as opposed to the well thought out decision.
They've right. just gone,
like,
right.
this is the safest thing we can think of. So we're going to do it as opposed to saying, okay, what is like the incremental benefit
from right. doing
that? Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, that's an area I always feel like I need to improve on, which is like, speaking out institutionally and right. speaking out against policies that I don't believe in, because I don't believe in this one. And I haven't done the research to figure out why the decision's been made or written emails to suggest that maybe this shouldn't be the case. And I should be using my influence to do that, and I haven't. So
yeah, I was thinking that the other day about coffee cup buying. I mean, I know like maybe the institutional is a bit too big a term for your local cafe, but it's kind of like for some cafes that are still not taking reusable cups anymore. I mean, I think, and again, I haven't done the research, so I don't know for sure, because we've been lucky enough to find 3 cafes in our neighborhood that will take our reusables.
No way.
Yeah, which is great. So we haven't had to, you know, go down the path of getting too upset about right. it.
Well, the one cafe that was doing it for me stopped because our numbers were going up, but I did have to make a bit of a fuss because I went with my coffee. They had already charged me for it.
Oh no.
And they said, we can't put it in your jar. And I said, well, you just did it 2 days ago. And they said, well, we can do it this time because my boss isn't here, but I won't do it again. Wow. So I've stopped going there. I just make my own coffee now.
Yeah. Gosh, it's, yeah. And I think it's just ridiculous. Like they can do the contactless pour and so on, but.
So Joy, I actually have done the research in that the research has been given to me, and The Guardian put out an article where like over 100 scientists across over 19 countries all agreed that reusables are not considered unsafe, that as long as they're clean, they're fine. And I don't understand why you can't do a contactless pour, as you mentioned. It's just, you just put it on the counter, pour the coffee in, and then wipe the counter down again. Done.
Yeah. I think it's just an excuse because it's easier, you know, at yeah. this point. So it's a little bit disappointing.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we see that lift at some point. But anyway, let's talk about happy things. So it is the it's the holiday season right around the corner. And the most organized of mums are out there already getting gifts ticked off their list as we speak. So I wanted to talk to you about the topic of consumerism and gift giving, as I know that you've come up with some pretty creative ways of dealing with this issue in the past. So perhaps you could share your thoughts on what a conscious holiday season could look like.
Ooh, I love that. Yes, I would love to do that. Well, I don't think it's a new concept to people that the winter holidays do tend to be centered around consumerism. Because myself not being a Christian, I don't celebrate Christmas per se, right? I always tell people I celebrate pagan Christmas. And then they'll say, well, what's that? And they'll say, well, you know, that's Christmas without the church and the beliefs. And then most people look at me funny and say, well, that's what we do too. So this whole idea that we're, you know, getting so excited about this holiday and putting so much effort into making sure everything's perfect and spending so much money and blah, blah, blah. The fact that there's really no, for many, many people, there's really no, there's really no reason for it, I guess, is interesting to me. But I think the best gift you can give to anyone is the gift that you care, right? So you can show you care in so many different ways instead of just handing someone a box full of something, right? So, you know, doing something like a secret Santa amongst a family is really good. We haven't gotten that good in my family because my mom loves Christmas, you know, being the Jane non-Christian she is. So we've at least said, okay, only one gift per person. And my gift, I always ask for like a donation or a plant or something like that. So Maslow has this hierarchy of needs, right? Kind of at the bottom are the things you absolutely need to live, like water, et cetera. And then at the top would be things like a straightener that also curls your hair at the same time. Not really a need, definitely more of a want. So someone has created something with an eco bend to it called the biarchy of needs. And so it's really interesting because it kind of just places an order what is the most eco-friendly thing to do as you get people gifts. So, you know, everyone thinks of gift giving as, you know, going out and buying a gift and giving it to someone, but there's so many other ways to give a gift where you don't have to buy a thing. And, you know, let's be honest, those are the gifts that really mean something at the end of the day. So, you know, you can make something. I've made people cookies, and I always like to knit a scarf or mitts, or I always knit booties for little babies. You can give the gift of an experience, you know, going out for lunch, probably not a possibility right now, but, you know, having a picnic together, going for a walk together. One I really like is teaching someone something. If someone came up to me and offered to teach me how to use my camera properly, that would make my day. Another great one to give parents is like time, whether that's you babysitting for them, or you making dinner for their kids one night, or you doing a load of laundry. Just anything that can give parents time is amazing. So those are things that, you know, not only are really meaningful and thoughtful and take some time to orchestrate, but they're also quite cheap for the gift giver. So I love that idea of, you know, not spending a lot of money on a gift, but rather spending time and care. But then if you don't have those kind of options, or if that's not really suitable for the person you're thinking of buying for, thrifting a gift is awesome, or swapping gifts, you know, used gifts is awesome. So when we do birthdays and holidays around here, we always scour the thrift store. So even this past weekend, my daughter's birthday, my eldest daughter's birthday is in November. And so this past weekend, we went to our gently used toy store, and she picked out a bunch of things that she liked. And the amazing thing about going to a used store is some of the stuff is still in its original wrapping.
Wow.
So, and, you know, not to mention that whole money saving piece again.
Totally.
So that's kind of around the gift giving area. But then, you know, thinking about things like decorations and your Christmas tree, there's so many sustainable things you can do. It's just about taking the time to think about, thinking about the disposal, think about the end life of whatever you're doing. And if you don't know what to do with it, or if your only option is to throw it out, then to try and find another option is always best. So whether that's composting your Christmas tree or decorating your house with dried oranges that you dehydrate in the oven.
What? Dried oranges? Oh, what is that?
Oh my gosh, you haven't seen this?
No.
This is like number one eco Insta trend around the holidays.
Okay.
I'm going to tag you.
Clearly out of it. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's like a wintry thing. So you take oranges and you slice them so that they're circular, and you dehydrate them in your oven. Or if you're super fancy and have a dehydrator, you do that. And then you string them up, and they look so pretty.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're
so pretty.
I
like to think I'm going to do that, but I probably won't.
Well, what I was going to say after that is another great way to celebrate the holidays is to be minimalist. And that's what we kind of do around here. We're not big into decorations or fancy baubles or anything like that. We just like to keep things simple. But that's a great way to save time, money, effort, and to take care of our planet. So there's nothing wrong with that.
Nice. I like it. but I guess if you have, it's a great way to use up sort of oranges if they're starting to go off or whatever, you could make some decorations with them. That would
sure
be...
or like, I don't know if you could like try it with lemon slices that you've already squeezed out. I wonder what that would look like.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be very cool. And on the topic of sort of food, the much of the holiday season is about eating a lot, right? Mm-hmm. With mm-hmm. loved ones. Have you approached sort of food planning for big family feasts any differently, or have you thought about it much?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing is to consider, you know, what are you going to do with your leftovers? Have your family members bring Tupperwares. You know, no one can eat 6 pounds of green beans that have been steamed, right? So have your family bring a Tupperware. Okay, I know I'm going home with leftovers in this Tupperware kind of thing.
Yeah.
Definitely trying to eat as plant-based as possible, obviously, is extremely helpful. Composting your food scraps, so important. And then also being mindful of food waste in general. So making it a buffet style rather than like a set plate so people can take what they want and ensure that they can eat what they've taken, and being creative about food waste. So there's a lot of interesting hacks online about being creative about food waste, but just a couple of cute ideas are things like making stock from your leftover vegetable scraps or scraps that people don't eat kind of thing, depending on your comfort level with germs and stuff like that. Someone makes fruit tea. I'm friends with someone on Instagram who makes like fruit tea out of fruit scraps, which I thought was really creative. Using like old spices to infuse oils or make your own apple cider vinegar. The possibilities are endless. But yeah, I think it's just really important that we're mindful of food waste because it is a huge problem, both economically and ecologically. So
yeah. And I feel like, you know, it's become such a thing about sort of the volume is better. I was reflecting on this last year, like, why do I always insist on eating like 4 days worth of food on one day?
Because your joy.
And then feel like pretty terrible for a few days after that. It's definitely would be sort of eco-wise to just stick to, you know, what you actually need for the day nutritionally.
Yes, that's true. But I appreciate that you don't waste the food and you shove it in there.
I'm like, this is not going to the compost bin. This is going in my belly.
But that's why maybe the leftover bins is a good idea, right? Like maybe we're not allowed to have food scraps this year. Whatever you don't eat, you have to take home.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or just doing like a bit of food planning to begin with. Like, do we need to cook for 20 people when we only have 6 coming? Like,
right. You know what I find ends up creating not a lot of waste, but is potlucks. Because everyone cooks for, like, let's say you're having a party of 20 people, although I don't know who is right now, but let's say you are. If you bring 20 samosas and then someone else brings, you know, meatballs for 20 people, or vegan balls for 20 people, and then someone else brings salad for 20 people, that means that you have 20 different dishes for 20 people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of food. So kind of being mindful of that as well. You know, can you bring dessert for 10 people, or can you bring enough salad for half our guests or something like that?
Yeah.
Would be kind of helpful in the potluck area.
Love that idea. Yeah. So that's some really great tips for Christmas, or for holidays in general coming up. I think there's different holidays around the world that people will celebrate in the coming months, not just Christmas. So mm-hmm. I presume mm-hmm. that will be helpful for a wide range of people, hopefully.
I sure hope so.
And so what's next for you and the Green Mum in the coming year? I realize that this year has been a little bit of a meh, but who knows, you know, the future is bright. What do you think's on the cards for you guys?
Well, I actually got cast in a movie yesterday.
Wow. So,
no, I'm just joking.
The Green Mum, the movie.
It would be pretty boring. It would just be me, like, as you said, baking crackers and stuff, which I don't even do anymore. I guess the next chapter of my life is that I've gone back to work full time for the past 2 years. Of doing Green Mum, I was either on maternity leave or teaching half time. So kind of trying to find the balance between working full time, having a busy husband, having 2 little girls, and still wanting to share this green message. That's definitely a new chapter for us. But other than that, I don't really have too many plans. And I just say I always try and do a little bit better than the day before. And sometimes it's a one step back, two step forward kind of thing. But, you know, just trying to implement new ways to be green. We moved this summer, so we've got a lot of plans for kind of greenifying our house. So that'll be something exciting for us. But, just finding more ways to take care of our beloved Mother Nature, I guess.
Love it. And if you could have one, this is the big question, if you could have one message truly heard by every human on the planet, what would it be?
Everyone gets to hear it.
Everyone gets to hear it. Like it's like a message that gets zapped into everybody's brains and they have to just truly hear it.
Ooh, okay, that's a good question. I think I would say that we're in trouble, but you can help, which I know sounds really negative, but the state of where we are right now is not acceptable. We are not going to survive as a species if we continue exactly the way we are right now. But I think it's really important for everyone to know and feel empowered to do something, because it's true, as we've spoken about, it's not going to be, I mean, there are going to have to be some big sweeping changes, and we need help both on the governmental and corporation side. But what, maybe that starts because you read an email, or maybe that starts because you use bamboo toothbrushes. You know what I mean? So it's just about everyone doing what they can in the moment that they're in. And at this point, not everyone is doing that. And that's okay. There's a lot of reasons for that. But if everyone could hear that message, I feel like we could do a lot of good in this world.
I love that. I think that's very true. And finally, where can people find the Green Mum? How can they connect with you? How can they find your great advice and your tips and learnings?
Or at least a joke or two. How's that?
And a good joke or two. Yeah.
So most of the time I'm mostly available via Instagram. So my Instagram is at the Green Mum. Mum spelled M-U-M. As previously mentioned, I do have a website that's sorely out of date, which is thegreenmum.net. And you could email me at thegreenmumcanada@gmail.com, or just slide into those DMs. But I would love it if you guys are interested. I would love for you to come along. Let me know that you heard Joy and Lyle's awesome podcast. Let me know if you have any questions. I just would love to be of service how I can.
Awesome. And mum, M-U-M, that's interesting. I never realized, because don't they say mom in the US? It's M-O-M, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't feel like a good fit.
Okay, so the green mom.
The green mama, the green mom, mommy. Mom right. Felt right.
Mom just felt right. Well, there you go.
Maybe it's like my, what do you call it, Commonwealth Indian background. I don't know, but it just felt right.
It does have a lovely ring to it. So,
right?
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think it was the right choice. So Mira, that's a wrap. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat. I know it's late for you, so appreciate it.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you so much for having me. And really, I owe everything that I've accomplished in these past 2 years to you and Lyle. So I owe you a much bigger thanks than just for having me on this podcast.
Well, that's very sweet of you, but it's I don't think that's entirely true. You are amazing and an incredible teacher, and I think that comes through, you know, really strongly in what you've done. So
thank you.
Very proud of you.
Loved catching up with my friend, the very impressive Mira. I hope that our conversation gave you some inspiration to change some things in and out of the home and tread a little lighter where you can. Please do say hello to The Green Mum over on Insta with the handle @TheGreenMum. Once again, thank you for listening. We will catch you next time.